Father, we are so grateful for the work that you do in our lives, for your hand upon our lives. We thank you and praise you for your death and resurrection and what that means for us, how we get to have a personal relationship with you and commune with you, how no matter what's going on in our life, the good times, the bad times, the trials, the struggles, that we can come to you, we can find peace, we can find rest, and we can wait on you, Lord. We can be in communion with you, waiting on you, and worshiping you. We pray that as we get into your word this morning, that you speak to us, that you guide our conversation, and that you bless our study. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So prayer is something that I think a lot of people recognize as something that somebody who has some type of faith has. You know, people say, oh, you have a faith in any God, and they automatically think, you know, oh, you pray. And I think that, you know, that's definitely true for those who have a Christian faith, is that prayer is a huge, huge, huge part of our faith. And even those who maybe don't have a strong faith will have some type of prayer often in their life. I know for me, that looks like in our family, even those who aren't very strong in their walk with the Lord, they might not pray every single day, but come Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter, we're going to sit down and pray before we eat our meal. And that's something that I grew up with. You know, we would pray before special events, before special meals. And it's very interesting to hear the different family members, the different guests who join the table, how their prayer changes as their relationship with the Lord changes, as it becomes more personal, as they begin to know him more. I remember one Christmas Eve, right in the middle of where my faith was really beginning to take off and I was learning a lot about the Lord. It was my turn to pray, and I remember the family started making jokes. They like to make jokes, like, okay, Morgan's praying tonight for dinner. How many times is she going to say Jesus' name? How many times is she going to say thank you? And it was this bet. They were taking bets. Okay, I think 10 times she's going to say thank you, Jesus, 10 times. And they went around the table. And, you know, it was all fun and games. We laughed about it. And I think for some people that would be discouraging, hearing your whole table joke about, oh, man, they're going to be thanking Jesus throughout their whole prayer. But for me, it was kind of a funny encouragement, like, oh, like they notice that when I pray, I am thanking my Lord for this. I am thanking Jesus for what Christmas actually means. And so I went ahead and prayed, and they did count. They counted how many times I said it. And I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was in the double digits. And they were all amazed that, you know, double digits, I said, thank you, Jesus, in the prayer. But, you know, that's was the heart. And I didn't change my prayer to meet my family's expectations, to appease them, to, you know, not be joked about. I just, you know, you go along with it. And our prayers are to the Lord, not towards our family or our friends or those who are hearing it. And that prayer is such a huge part of our faith. Having that prayer day in and day out is so impactful for our faith. We are called to this constant prayer and called to worship God through our prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think this is a verse that a lot of us probably already have in our minds. It's memorized. We lean on it. But what this is telling us is that, you know, we should not be anxious about anything. But instead, when we feel that anxiety, when we feel that coming up, we turn to prayer. And everything in our life is a fitting subject for prayer. There's no area that is too small that the Lord does not have concern over. He wants every single area of our life, big, little, small, things that we maybe don't think he cares about, he wants to hear about them. He has concern over them. And he wants us to bring it to him. Through our prayer, which is this communication with God. And it can mean, you know, formally sitting down, folding our hands and praying, or just talking to him in our day-to-day life. Any communication with the Lord is prayer. And then our supplication is when we directly ask God to do something for us. And so this verse is saying, you know, we're in this communication with the Lord day in and day out. It's a constant communication. But then, because our God cares for us, he loves us, he has concern over our lives, we can directly ask him for our needs, ask him to help us. And when we do that, the state of our heart is incredibly important. We want our state, our heart, our mindset to not be coming from a place of whining or complaining. Oh God, this is so hard. Why are you doing this? My life is terrible. Just please fix this. No, he doesn't want us to be whining or complaining, but he wants us to come to him prayerful and being thankful for what we have. That's where our heart comes from. We still ask him for our needs. We still come before him and declare those needs to him, but our heart is different. Our heart is, you know, Lord, you are so wonderful. I thank you for the things that you've done. And I'm just going to talk to you about what's going on in my life and ask that we can work through this together. It's a relationship, a teamwork. We're not just complaining to him. And though we see, you know, sometimes we do just say, okay, God, my life is hard. And he wants to hear those burdens too. But when we come before him, asking him to help us, we want to come from a place of thanksgiving, of being in that relationship with him. And when we do so, we receive the peace of God. And this peace isn't something that's senseless or impossible to understand. It's something that is beyond our ability to understand because our God is so big and so huge and so mighty. And so it's hard for us maybe to explain into words exactly what that peace looks like. But we experience it when we have that relationship with the Lord, when we go to him with that thanksgiving, with that prayer, giving him our needs, we get to experience God's peace. And it's something that guards our heart and our mind so that we can be anxious for nothing, but live walking in our prayer and supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So knowing what we know about God's blessings and his greater plan, we can honestly have a heart of rejoicing in the Lord. Because our joy isn't based on our circumstances, on what's going on in the current moment, but it's based in God. And our God is never changing. He is consistent. He is the same. So we can have this rejoicing, this joy in the Lord. And then we can pray without ceasing with him. And I think when we hear that word, pray without ceasing, it might seem kind of impossible or maybe impractical. We say, oh, Lord, I've got a long to-do list. Like, I can't sit and just be praying all day. And maybe we even feel, you know, like, oh, that's just one more thing that I can't live up to, Lord. And we maybe want to feel guilty about that. But when we realize that our relation to God, our relationship to him is something that is in and out of verbal prayer. You know, sometimes we might be praying out loud with him. Sometimes we're just walking with him in silence. Then we can walk without having that guilt, that anxiety of it. Because praying without ceasing is having a heart that is focused on God, that's depending on him, aware of his presence, yielding to his will. It's where we can easily transition between our inward states of prayer and an outward expression where we are explicitly praying to the Lord. So praying without ceasing is our state that we walk in and day out as Christians. It's our attitude, the way we live our life, the way we view the Lord, and our communication with God. You know, and our formal prayer doesn't always have to look like, again, sitting down with our eyes closed and our head bowed, though there's a time for that. It can look like we're driving in the car and we just shoot up a quick prayer to the Lord. We have a thought come across our mind and we give it to the Lord. You know, because we're in and out of that state of prayer with him, it's easy to say, oh, Lord, this is bothering me. Or, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? Or to see his creation, like we talked about last week, and say, oh, wow, God, you are so big and so mighty. Like, praise you, Lord. because our heart is so focused on him that it's easy to go in and out of that prayer. When this section says, in everything, give thanks, this might also be something that we maybe just skip over or don't look at for too long. Maybe we agree with it. We say, oh yeah, Lord, in everything that I do, I'm going to give you thanks. And then we move on from it. But when we do that, we are missing the very point of those words. And everything, give thanks, is to recognize just how much the Lord has given us, just how much he has blessed us with, and to recognize God's sovereign hand in our life. To look at him and all that he's done and be able to praise him, see his hand, see his work, see his guiding. And then this section closes with, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so we see, you know, that this is God's will for us, is to be in this state of prayer, communion with him, rejoicing, being worshipful with him, giving him thanks. And so we can and we should want to do it, because as followers of God, followers of Christ, we want to do God's will. We want to walk in his will and his plan for us. And we see right here, God desires this relationship with us. He desires this constant prayer, this constant communion. And so we should also desire and want to do that with him. So what does this look like in our life? How do we live this life that is in constant prayer and where we are constantly worshiping God through our prayer? Matthew 6, 5 through 15 says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil ones. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So this section warns us against praying to be seen by men, not by God. That's what it starts with. It talks about how we should not be praying to impress others, to teach others by our words, by the way that we pray. We shouldn't pray and be like, oh, I want to sound so eloquent. And people are going to look at me and think, wow, they must be a wonderful Christian, or they're so smart, or they know a bunch about the Bible. Or maybe we see somebody like, oh, I think they need to learn this in their life, so I'm going to pray for them, for what they're going through, because I think they need to learn from this. But our prayer is not for them. It's not for others. Our focus is not on them. Our focus is on the Lord. It's on God. And our prayer is a genuine pouring out of our heart before God. It's where we just openly pour out what's on our heart for him. Not another agenda, but just our relationship with the Lord. It's not a tool to impress others. But again, it's a relational and intimate thing that we have with our Father. And those who pray to be seen by others will get their reward. They do get their reward, as they often are seen. People see them, they hear their prayers, and that's their reward. But this is all that they get. Because what God wants is that intimate, personal prayer relationship with us. And when we pray with God, we should pray by meeting with God in a private place, again, where we are not trying to impress anyone except God. And this is not telling us that we cannot pray out loud. pray in a public situation, that all our prayers need to be in our closet, tucked away from everybody else. Rather, it tells us that our prayer is towards God, not towards man. So again, our heart is focused on the Lord. It's this direct thing, this intimate, personal relationship, personal prayer between us and the Lord. And that's where our prayers are directed, just us two, just us together. And when we pray, again, this section says, we should not be using vain repetitions, which are mostly words that have no meaning, and there's not a lot of meaning to them. So, you know, we shouldn't be just making words for filler or saying words to sound good because we think we need to say those words. Because, again, our prayer is not to impress God. We're not praying to impress other people with all of our words, how well we speak, the many things that we can say. But we are praying, again, for our Lord, this intimate pouring out of our heart. So he doesn't need those fillers, those repetitions. That God doesn't need us to have things that have no meaning towards our prayer. We don't need to impress him. He hears us. He wants us to pray with him. He wants to have that relationship with us. And when we're praying, we're not praying because we're telling God things that we think he didn't know before we told him. Because God already knows all of that. So if we're thinking, okay, God, what don't you know about me? What don't you know about this situation? He already knows those things. We are praying to commune with him, to share in our feelings, in our thoughts, in our experiences. And then to appeal to our loving God, who wants us to bring every need and every worry before his throne. So yeah, he might know everything that's gone on in our lives. There's nothing that we can hide from the Lord, but he still wants us to bring that to him, to share that with him. You know, I think of people who we might have a close relationship with, our spouse, your children, your best friend. Maybe sometimes you can sense what's going on in their life before they tell you. You can sense, oh, they're struggling with this. Maybe you even know the situation. Maybe you saw the situation play out. But just knowing what happened doesn't help your relationship with that other person. It's when they come to you and they share, hey, I'm really struggling with this. And you guys work through that together that you grow in relationship. Or when they come and they share their praises with you, their excitement with you, their joy with you, then you get to celebrate with them. You get to rejoice with them. Yeah, maybe you already saw on social media that they're good news, but that's not the same as being with them, celebrating, sharing that moment. And that's what the Lord wants with us. He wants that intimacy. He wants that relationship to share our life, to share our moments, even if he already knows them. Because when we do that, that's when we can draw closer to him. This section gives us a model for prayer. It starts with God as Father in heaven, and which is a way of recognizing who we pray to. That we get to come to somebody with a privileged title, and we have a privileged relationship with our God. So we're recognizing this privilege that we have to commune with our Father. Hallowed be your name has a passion for God's glory and agenda. His name and kingdom and will have the top priority in our life. And so when we pray, we want to have that same attitude of the passion, the glory, the submission to God's plan and will in our life. We want to be able to freely bring our needs to God. Ask for our daily provisions, the needs that we need to be met. We don't want to pray out of our greeds, the things that we just desire to be greedy, but we're praying out of our needs. We pray for our debts, which is our sin, that the Lord will forgive our sins, help us to not walk in those sins. We pray that the Lord does not lead us into temptation or trials. So we're not boasting in our own strength. We don't desire a trial. We don't desire to go into temptation. We're praying the Lord to protect us from those. And we're praying that we also do not lead others into temptation. So we're praying for our attitude, for our life, for our representation of Christ. And then we praise God and we give credit to him for the kingdom and the power and the glory. So again, we come back to the praise of God. You are so good. You are so mighty. We worship him. And then we also have forgiveness. This passage talks about how forgiveness is required for those who have been forgiven. For us, who the Lord has already forgiven, he asks us to forgive others as well. See, for those who have been forgiven, for each and every one of us, we are not given the luxury of holding on to our bitterness towards other people. Because God wants us to walk as he walked. And he doesn't hold his bitterness towards us. He forgives us. He lets us walk free and renewed. And so our prayer is for our hearts to be able to do the same. The format in which this models is from a place of worship, where we begin by recognizing God's position in our life, recognizing our privileged relationship with him, honoring him as our top priority, trusting him with our needs, praising him for his power and glory, and then reciprocating the forgiveness that he shows us. It's all from this attitude of worship. It starts there, and then it extends forward into our entire prayer. Psalm 145 is a huge passage where David is just praising the Lord. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So in this passage, he starts with, I will extol you, my God. And that means to praise, to lift high, to exalt. David is honoring and promoting the name of God in the most personal way. You see, he starts with a direct address. It's personal, him and God. He says, you, God. So we know he has a personal relationship with him. And then he furthers that by having that personal reference. My God, this is my God. It's personal to him. He has a surrendered heart. O King. So he recognizes the Lord's sovereignty in his life. And then he praises him unendingly, forever and ever. Every day he will give the Lord praise. He's piling praise upon praise, declaring God's greatness and great worthiness to be praised. In verses 4 through 7, we see that he talks about the passing of praise of God from one generation to another so that it continues through them, that he declares and praises the greatness of God in verses 8 through the end. So this whole passage is just him declaring how good our God is, praising him in his life. For us, we have a personal relationship with the God, with our God, and that's where our prayers start. And our heart is to be surrendered to his will and should be full of an unending praise for him. This is the attitude that we want our life and our heart to have before the Lord. We can be constantly in communication and prayer with him in this state of praise. We are able to bring our burdens to God. And so with a grateful and prayerful heart, we can place our burdens on him and we can walk in his peace. We stay in constant connection with God. We are called to be in a constant rejoicing, prayer, and thanksgiving with him. And that in itself is an act of worship. We focus our hearts on God alone. So we pray, we worship, we seek, we commune, and we please our God, not anyone else. We respond with praise as we remember him. Our day-to-day experiences, observations, blessings, and needs are to be shared with God. And we can see and give him worship for all he has done in our life. Prayer is something that is personal, it's relational, it's transformative. And through it, our hearts are transformed and we are aligned with God's will. That all is rooted in that worshipful prayer, having a prayer that we desire to worship, to honor, to commune with the Lord. Prayer is not just asking God for things. It is a way to worship where we trust him, seek him, and delight in who he is in our life, in the world, forever and ever. Amen? Amen. What do we got, ladies? Thoughts, questions, concerns?
Yeah. I was thinking when you said, you know, he knows, you know, what we're going to ask, but I like to think that he likes to ask.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point.
You were talking about praying at the table for meals with your family. Mm-hmm. My sister always prays silently before a meal, and that was never the custom in our family. And I thought, you know, that is really lovely, and I should be doing that, and so I'll just do that. And it's just me and my husband now.
Right.
So I started doing that at breakfast, you know, just praying silently over my food. And I thought, well, why am I praying silently? And I'll just pray out loud, you know. I'm going to say the same thing, and I'm not praying like you said. Was conscious not to pray to try to teach him something
right.
or affect him in any way, but whatever I would have said silently, I just said it softly out loud, whether he was listening or not. But you know how you say, you know, thank you, God, for the food, for the hands that prepared it?
Mm-hmm.
He's the cook. He's the cook in our family.
Yeah.
And so that's what I meant to say, but the way it came out was, thank you for this food, and thank you for my husband. And that had a tremendous effect on him,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed. And so I make sure that when I pray over the meals, I thank God for my husband. And I can remember a time, long time ago, when I was doing Storville Martin's, you know, The Power of mm-hmm. the Praying Life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was doing that at home, and I would, you know, I prayed for my husband a lot, and he didn't know what I was praying. But he knew that I was praying for him. And we had just gone to get a part from the junkyard, and he told the clerk there, my wife prays for me a lot. So it does matter.
Right.
That's so sweet.
and prayer changes things.
It does.
God hears our prayers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a beautiful picture of, you know, you just pouring out your heart to the Lord and then him using that to benefit those around you. You know, I think that's the beauty of when our heart is to pray, you know, directly to the Lord. Because like it says, then he has a plan. He has a reward for that. Whereas if our intention is praying for others, we already get the reward and it stops there. And not that the reward is our motivation, but that's a beautiful picture of how our God takes care of us and loves us and cares for us and how he's going to bless you through just having that relationship with him.
It's I'm beautiful. Sure that pleases God, and especially, you know, like for Maddie to say that. I'm sure that really pleases him.
And his sister-in-law, you know, the whole family was raised Muslim. Some have fallen away, and some, you know, still adhere. But his sister-in-law went through a really tough time with one of her kids, and I would pray for her over the phone. And so now, whenever there's, you know, trouble, everything turned out well. But now, whenever there's something on her heart, she'll ask me to pray for her. She says, everything Paula prays always comes true.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful how often non-Christians will, at one point in time, scoff at us for praying. But then when they're in need, when they have something that they're going through, they say, can you pray for me? You know, and we see they often will say, they'll just throw out a blanket statement, throw out your good vibes, your prayers, your whatever it is. But then they look at the Christian and they're like, no, I know there's something different about your prayers. Can you pray for me? I have a family member who is not a believer, and same thing, Scott has usually scoffed when I pray or mention the Lord. And then when his child was going through a major health issue, I was sitting there in the hospital with him, and he said, you know, it's okay, Morgan. You can pray for him. You can pray out loud. And I was like, oh, I've been praying this whole time. But now that you said that, like, yeah, we will pray out loud together. You know, and that's when it was important and it mattered. And he wanted to hear the prayer in that moment. Yeah.
So what it reveals is that by doing that, you are impacting others.
Right.
Even if they say they're not a believer, you know, like her husband. But right. It's impacting him, and he knows that she's been praying. He knows that these good things happen, and his life is good. So it's, you know, it just says to me more, be bold and pray.
Right.
Like our mutual friend, Gail and I have a mutual friend that we've been praying for, and we've both told her the gospel message, and she won't receive Jesus, but she still texts me and says, please pray for me.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a story of a lady who used to go to our church. I will not name names, but if you've been privileged to hear this story, it's beautiful. She became a Christian before her spouse did, and so she made a point to every night she would do her devotion in the living room. She would just quietly sit down, read her scripture, pray, and journal. And she did that for an extended period of time. And then after a while, her husband started coming in, and he'd sit next to her, and he'd kind of look over her shoulder and read the scripture with her. And then he'd start asking questions. And then pretty soon, he came to faith. And then they became missionaries together and, you know, served the Lord together in this beautiful way in another country. And so, yeah, that prayer, that just spending time with the Lord and focusing on your relationship with him is powerful.
I think often we pray and we think we're praying for somebody else, and then the Lord says, oh, through your prayer, I'm going to work on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, you kind of like, oh, I need a little work, Lord. I get it. Yeah. You know?
Right.
It's so fun the way he'll reveal that. I'm so glad you brought that to me. Now let's talk about that.
Right.
You know, it gets revealed. You kind of go, oh, wait a minute. I heard myself. As I'm talking to you, Lord, I'm thinking, what could I have done different? Let's, you know, he kind of talks to you.
Right.
It's so fun that way.
It
you
is.
Know?
Yeah, I love that. And I love, too, even building off of that. You know, I think as women, we're so bent to think of the other people in our life. So when, like you said, we're praying for other people, and the Lord says, whoa, like, what about you? You know, same thing. You know, when you're praying and he reveals something in your heart, or he just says, I just want to take a moment to talk about you, my daughter. Like, let's spend time together. You know, and he wants us to pray for others, and he desires that, but he also desires that intimacy with us and with us alone.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You were saying how God knows everything. You know, he already knows what you're going to pray, but you know, we're his children. Mm-hmm. And so many times when I'd pick Christopher up from school, he'd tell me a story about what happened at school. And I would tell his mom when he wasn't around. But then he would tell her, and she'd pretend like she'd never heard it before. You know, that's her child.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's like that, not that he thinks we're cute, but that we've confided in him.
Right. Right. Well, and it's different, too, I think, when you hear your child or somebody close to you telling you something, you see the excitement in their eyes or the pain or the hurt, and you get to feel that and experience that with them. Whereas if you're hearing it secondhand, you will still feel that to some extent, but it's different than looking them in the eyes or sitting next to them and feeling that with them. And he wants that, for sure. Do we have a thought over here that I saw a hand a moment ago?
I was just going to say that it's kind of the years that I've been walking with the Lord, it started off with a lot more praying with others, and then those others that I really were close to passed away, so I didn't have that person that I would pray with anymore, and now I'm in a situation where I was, you know, learning that I just was going there on my own in the quietness of my room, or you know, and I really kind of wrestled with it. I didn't really know how to sit still for the longest time.
Right.
So once I disciplined myself to come, you know, made it more of a time frame, like working out. Okay, I'm going to go do this. And it just became to be most so beautiful. And now I just sit at my piano and start off with just worship, and then it just goes into prayer. And my husband is in bed still. And when I've been going to take care of my stepmom, I didn't have to leave really early, and I wouldn't get a chance to do that. And he would say, my husband would tell me, I missed your songs this morning. You know, like he was so used to me worshiping that he goes, I just would lay there and listen to you. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, you don't really know who you're affecting or who it permeates to. One more story, just because I just love that, is that I went to a lady that funeral a few years back, and she was a Christian lady that prayed. She lived next door to me as I was growing up in my, I told you, horrible situation. And I heard that prayer, and I go, wow, God honored her prayers, because I really was protected and my heart was held. So I could have done so many other things of destruction. I mean, you know, enough destruction. But I mean, I'm just saying, I could have done worse. But I feel like her covering until God revealed himself that I saw it. Because I know he's always pursuing us. But it, you know, all of that was someone's prayers heard by our Lord. So, you know, don't think that they've gone nowhere. You know, years later, you know, I'm going, gosh, that's just so cool that my next door neighbor was praying for our family. So anyway, don't take it for, you know, don't think that no one's hearing. God hears, and then he listens and he hears. He says, you have not because you've asked not. Like whoever just said, you know, we're asking. God may know, but we're to ask.
Well, yeah. And God always answers for us. It may not be what you the way you think it should be, but later on it will be revealed to you that you know, he did answer the prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've had that experience, but you know, yes. I'm thinking, well, the things did work out better than what I was thinking about, you know. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he always answers them.
Absolutely.
It's just what is his will.
Yeah.
In your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Lord will always answer our prayers. And I think, too, you know, prayer time is so diverse in the things that it can encompass. I think we often think of a prayer or our prayer time as just asking the Lord for our needs. Okay, Lord, here's my checklist of things. Here's my family members I want needs to make sure I pray for. But it's so much more diverse. It involves, you know, we worship the Lord. We pray to just honor God and recognize his glory and his power in our life. But there's also a part of prayer where we are silent and we just let the Lord speak to us and move us. And that can look through, you know, maybe we are feeling his peace, we're feeling his presence, maybe we get pointed to the scriptures, you know, whatever it might be. But there's also a, you know, in a conversation, it's not just one-sided. We don't just talk and then say, okay, the conversation's done. But we talk and we wait and he responds. And it's a back and forth communication with the Lord, which I think is so, so, so beautiful. So yeah, it's absolutely, we're going to ask the Lord for things and what's going on in our life because he wants to know that. But then we also are worshiping him and honoring him and glorifying him and recognizing his presence and his glory in our lives.
Yeah, could you just repeat all that? Because I missed the first one.
It'll be online.
You know, this morning at work, I was I was focused and I was ready. And then a lady, she came by and she goes, oh, excuse me. And I go, oh, no, that's fine. She goes, I know you're busy. And I go, no, that's fine. I go, but good morning. I told her very cheerfully and she goes, oh, she paused and she goes, oh, thank you so much for that. You don't really get that much cheer anymore. And I go, you know, all honor and glory to God for that. Because mm-hmm. I think that, like you said, we're always honoring, and it can look come in different forms, our prayers, and always honor and glory God for mm-hmm. the things that we do. Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, the breath of that I have this morning to wake up, you know?
Right.
So, yes.
Right. I think that's so beautiful, too, when we come before the Lord in a state of frustration, or, you know, we're just emotionally just had it, and we say, okay, God, and we just start praying, and then he changes our heart. And, you know, we see that in the Psalm time and time again, where David just lays it all out to the Lord, but then by the end of his prayers, he's like praising God. You are so good. You are so wonderful. And we see how the Lord, even in that communication, that conversation, changes our heart. And it impacts us, and it helps us move forward. And, you know, when you have that intimate relationship, it will end with that heart of prayer, of praise, of worship for our Lord.
You know, Morgan, a lady that was very dear to me, she's now present with the Lord. I was in Bible study, and she taught us to pray the attributes of God in alphabetical order, so you would pray the alphabet. Mm-hmm. And it's so neat. You're awesome. You're beautiful. You're caring. We'd go around the room and we'd pray the alphabet.
Wow.
And it's just the neatest thing. And it does, you know, like you said, when you're driving, I do a lot when I'm driving in the car. Mm-hmm. And even with children, you can do it too. You know, can you think of something? But she taught us, and all that, those years later, I still do that. And I think of how beautiful that is, you know. Yeah. When I'm down or struggling with something, okay, and you don't know what to say sometimes,
right.
But we all know the alphabet, so, you know, she taught us, she said, just start going through the alphabet, and you'll be amazed at what you can find to praise the Lord about, you know?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, it's amazing how many words we have in our vocabulary that can express our gratitude and just how mighty our Lord is. And I think we often use the same, at least I do, the same five-ish that, you know, are just normally in our vocabulary. I know I use awesome a lot. You've probably heard me say like three or multiple times this study. But when we really stop to think about it, you know, there's so many words that describe our Lord. And they don't even describe him to the fullest because of how mighty and wonderful he is. Well, let's pray, and then we can keep this conversation going. And also, if you ladies have any prayer requests that you need after this time, after we close in worship, ask a sister, get a group together. And, you know, that's, I think, a huge part also is lifting your needs up with one another and going before the Lord. So we'll pray, and you will close out in some worship, but that doesn't mean that this time of us praying and worshiping the Lord has to formally end.
But as we pray, let's offer some praises because we've seen some miracles just this last week.
Right, absolutely.
All of us have. We may not have recognized it, mm-hmm. but stop, look, and listen, and you'll see if there have been gifts given that God's answered some prayers.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. Father, we praise you. You are so good, so wonderful. What a blessing it is that we get to come before you and have an intimate and a personal relationship with you, where you care about us. You want to hear what's on our mind. You want to be in communication with us. You know, it says that this is God's will for us. You desire this. Help our hearts desire it just as much as you do, Lord. Help us walk in this constant prayer, this constant communication with you, where we are rooted in our worship of you, Father, where we are rooted in recognizing how wonderful you are in our lives, and where we can lift up our needs, our praises, our desires to you. Lord, we trust your plan. We know that you are good. We know that whatever you are going to do is better than what we could imagine. Help our hearts be of a place of communion with you, of just being with you, being in relationship with you, Father. You are so good to us. We are so grateful for you, and we praise you. Help us walk in that praise, rejoicing and recognizing your goodness. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.